Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Tonight, the second of our monthly segments on Open House called Ask Anything. It's the brainchild of Pastor Dale Stevenson from the Crossway Church in Melbourne. We've done a couple of these already with a great response. Quite simply, he's put himself out there for any and all questions to anyone who'd listen, people without faith, but also people with faith. His challenge is ask anything about life, faith, or culture. So over to you. Ask anything. Open to all comers. We're going to see how good this man behind all this is. So give us a call, 1300 40 2020. Is there a question you've always wondered about with Christian faith or the Bible? Tonight's your night. Fire away, 1300 40 2020. Dale Stevenson, welcome back.
Yes, g'day, Lee. And each time I hear you introduce this segment, I have that same kind of sinking feeling of, oh my goodness, how pretentious.
Yeah, but I wonder whether you feel nervous. That's what I thought as I was introducing you.
Yeah. Good. That's why we're here.
My favourite from the last time was the one about the Bible reading on the moon. So that was
good. Yeah, that's just totally good. Did someone phone in later with an answer to that?
Yeah, we got it. There's a thing called Wikipedia, which is always very helpful. So anyone wants to call, any question, 1300 40 2020. First question from Hayden on our Facebook. My question is, how do I talk to people about Jesus without trying to Bible bash them?
All right. Built into the sort of language of Bible bashing is sort of a social insensitivity. That's kind of really what that language means.
Yes.
And so sharing our faith in Jesus, and obviously this is a question that's coming from someone who is a follower of Jesus. Being able to share our faith in Jesus does require an amount of sensitivity. There is a spot in 1 Peter, it's chapter 3, verse 15 from memory, that says, always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that's within you, yet do it with gentleness and respect.
Yes.
And so that verse both speaks about a readiness, but it's a readiness kind of in a responsive sense for people are saying, what's going on with you? But I love the way it closes there, where it speaks about doing it with gentleness and respect, and that certainly doesn't sound like social insensitivity to me. Just as a rule of thumb, because I'm a converted atheist, for those who aren't aware of that, and
at what age, Dale?
I was about 19.
Okay.
That it all landed. I picked up the Bible for the first time and read about Jesus. He totally caught me by surprise. He wasn't at all what I expected him to be like.
Yeah.
And I had 100 arguments against God and all those sorts of things. And one by one, they were responded to, especially by reading the Bible, but also talking with Christians. And so I've ended up having just every year for the next 30 years, I've had conversations just really regularly with people about Jesus, and I'm talking about conversations with people who wouldn't consider themselves religious.
Yes.
And if we go with a person's line of inquiry, that means they're already interested. If we use language that's understandable, if we're really respectful and thoughtful kind of in the way that we engage, it changes the tone.
And it also often needs to be over a long period of time. I think too many models for connecting with Christian faith seem to just rush in and rush out,
yeah.
Where it might be the product of a friendship or a relationship over many, many years.
Oh, absolutely. Relationship is the bridge over which Jesus walks from one life to another. And
nice.
So if we're really respectful of people, if we listen and engage well, if language is rigid, as soon as we get that sense that we're maybe being a bit awkward, we probably are, and we just have to show a good level of respect to people. The actual message of Jesus is not complex, and that it's possible for people to be reconciled with a God who actually does love them and have good intent towards them, and that, at heart we're kind of flawed people with a bit of a self-centered or rebellious attitude, and that, God has kind of taken the first step toward us through Jesus, paying the price that needed to be paid to deal with our kind of failures and everything.
Yeah.
Message, and that it's possible, to be in good relationship with God, and if we find language around it and share frequently in that kind of relational sense, so I think it's a skill that can be honed.
Okay. Second question from Andrew. Why is life's probably the heart of the question of suffering? Why is life so hard for some people and not for others? So it's not necessarily why do we suffer, so why does one suffer as opposed to another?
Oh, yeah. No, what a great question. Yeah. And I tell you what, wouldn't we have a different experience of life if we were born in the Congo in contrast to being born in Australia?
Yeah, sure.
You know, so much that there is an incredible lot that falls our way by virtue of whatever country we're born in, what style of parents we have. In reality, we don't live our life as an island. We live in an interactive way with everyone around us, especially those that we love. And to actually choose to love people is to choose to be open and vulnerable to pain and to their choices. In reality, people are free will agents, and you know, God has made us with that sort of strong choice capacity, and we don't always make good choices, and other people don't always make good choices. And I really do hear the heart of that question, because some people, it just seems like, my goodness, you know, they've had a very difficult time. And so there's no simple or trite response to that. Probably at the heart of that question is also, how do we kind of face the sort of challenges that life dishes up to us? Because it's possible to square up life's challenges either well or not so well. And but in reality, there's no guarantee that the red carpet's going to be rolled out for us in life. And you only have to hang around long enough to sample suffering in quite profound ways.
Yep, Steve Waugh is a classic example of that, a man of great achievements, and then all of a sudden life's cruising along, and all of a sudden it turns upside down. It's well worth listening to later tonight. Asher has phoned in from Eastwood. Dale, Asher, hi. What's your question for Dale?
Hi, Dale. My question was, in your life, are there any, since you're asking for us to ask you questions, is there any question that you have sought from God, are yet to be answered, but still seeking for an answer from him?
What an interesting question, Asher.
That's a great question.
Yeah, good on you. What do you say?
Yeah, in reality, there are a lot of questions. If we could completely work God out, that would kind of make us a bit, you know, kind of above him or absolutely equal with him. So there is a ton of mystery. I have learned to carve space into my faith domain for the stuff that I don't entirely understand, and then to live comfortably with that.
Yeah.
There's a verse in the Bible, it's, from memory, it's Deuteronomy 29:29, where it says, the secret things belong to the Lord, but the things revealed belong to us. And what that tells me is there are lots of secret things. You know, there's stuff that's just difficult to understand, and where I'm left going, Lord, you know, I just don't entirely get that. I remember at one point having a mate whose wife, you know, young mum, multiple kids, she was struggling with cancer, and an elderly gentleman in the church that I was leading at the time, he was 83, he was also struggling with cancer, and I was praying for both of them and concerned for both of them, and amazingly, somewhat miraculously, the elderly gentleman was healed, and it really was. It absolutely had the medical community gobsmacked, and the young mum passed away.
No.
I remember kind of getting by myself with God and saying, I just don't understand. No. You know, if you really want to do a kind of a shock and awe, wow kind of deed, how about we spin that in the young mum's direction? The elderly gentleman was more than happy. He was being quite philosophical about the fact that he'd lived a long life, and he was quite happy to go. And but yeah, so there's more than enough that we just don't understand. God has a much higher perspective. He says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. You know, they're higher than ours. And it's a little bit like, you know, sometimes for those who have seen the backside of a cross-stitch kind of art, the backside can look really messy.
It's a good illustration.
It looks really pretty.
Yeah, that's really good.
And
yeah.
And sometimes we're kind of looking at the backside of life and we don't entirely understand what's going on, but God is actually doing something far more profound. So, yeah, I've got tons of questions like that, and I've learned to carve a domain into my faith that says, look, I don't entirely understand, and I'm looking forward to asking God about that one.
That's what faith's about. Asher, thanks so much for your call. It's a great question. And Sheena has called in from Kingsgrove. Hi, Sheena.
It's actually George. I'm Sheena's son.
Oh, g'day, George. Nice of you to call too.
Thank you.
What's your question for Dale, George?
My question for Dale is a verse in the Bible in Deuteronomy, chapter 21, verse 10. And it says, now if you go out to war against your enemies, and the Lord your God delivers them into your hands, and you take them captive, and you see among the captives a beautiful woman, and desire her, and will take her for your wife, then you shall bring her home to your house, and you shall shave her head and trim her nails. You shall take the clothes of her captivity from her, and she shall remain in your house and mourn her father and mother a full month. After that, you may go into her and dwell with her, and she shall be your wife.
What do you say, Dale?
Okay, great quote, George. And so we're going back around 1500 BC with that writing written by Moses and for the newly formed Israelite society. That comes into our Western 21st century ears as like really weird text. Let's just be right up front with that. We say we both can't relate to it and don't understand it. What we can say is it was regulating a society, feudal system, people rising up against people at a very local level quite regularly, and God ordering their society. It's probably worth noting for those who are less familiar with the Bible, as a follower of Jesus, I'm not bound by that type of text. Jesus came to usher in a new covenant, which is a new agreement and a new way. And so while I look at those texts with genuine and profound interest as kind of as an historical insight for that society, I have any sense that that's somehow instructing my personal faith or life today.
Okay, George, thanks very much for your call. Philip has called in from Undercliff with a really big question, Dale. Hi, Philip.
Hello.
Yeah, g'day. What's your question then? For Dale.
What happens to people that take their lives, especially if they're diagnosed mentally ill? Do they go to a negative death destination, or is there special provision made for them in the Christian covenant?
Okay. That's a question and a half.
Yeah, it is a question and a half, and fantastic question. Thanks for asking it. It's worth kind of acknowledging that there is a breadth of thought around that, so let me just go straight to my own kind of perspective rather than giving the whole breadth of thought around it. Some would say that that suicide is a cardinal sin. You know, it's like an unforgivable sin. You shouldn't be taking your own life. And even in contemporary society today, very, very few people are going to be suggesting it's a great idea to take your own life. From a Christian perspective and my understanding of the teaching of the New Testament, Jesus' death on the cross was to cover our sins, past, present, and future. And if a person at a point of absolute depression or desperation found themselves where they were wanting to take their own life, the work of Jesus covers us. That's why we have our faith in him. But I'd like to acknowledge Jesus is always better than any kind of situation that we find ourselves in. And so I've had friends take their life over the years, and it's an absolute tragedy. It hurts their family and friends all around them. And if a person is feeling like they're in that situation, I don't know whether the questioner is kind of wondering about these things or they have a friend who's wondering about these things, taking one's life is not the solution. Far better to pop a call through to something like Lifeline, and maybe Lee, you could find the number for that.
13.
Yes.
1114.
There you go. Thank you for that.
And my phrase is
that's a far better option. Yeah. Just to seek help at that point, because tomorrow things can look a lot better and lot brighter.
That's my phrase. There's always a tomorrow.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how things look different tomorrow. Dale Stevenson, you've done so well. And not at all pretentious, my friend. Thank you so much indeed.
Well, let's keep giving it. We'll keep giving it our best hit. Lee, can we mention to people that they can even post questions online? We're addressing questions online at askanything.org.au.
Askanything.org.au.
And so people can go there as well, and we're responding to questions online. So it's just another domain. But very happy to do it spontaneously as we're doing it here right now.
Dale Stevenson, thank you so much. We'll see you next month.
Pleasure.
Good on you.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.